David Halberstam won a 1964 Pulitzer Prize for his reporting from Vietnam for the New York Times. Halberstam was one of the first American reporters to contradict the optimistic picture of the war which the American government was presenting to the public. He was attacked by South Vietnamese and American officials for negativism and inaccuracy. Madam News said Halberstam should be barbecued. President Kennedy suggested to the publisher of the Times that Halberstam was too close to the story and asked if they were considering transferring him to another bureau. In 1985, Halberstam told me the South Vietnamese and American governments expected reporters to be supportive.
Get on the team, get on the team. That's what they used to say. The American ambassador to Vietnam, Mr. Nolting, once turned to me, and I had come back from a particularly grim tour of the Mekong Delta, where all my sources told me that we were losing the war. And I mentioned this in passing to him once. He just got furious at me, almost physically threw me out of his office and said, "You're always looking for the hole in the donut. You're always looking for the hole in the donut." The great pressure, what they were trying to do was make us be patriots. I have a rather broad gauge view of patriotism and the high levels of freedom in a society like ours. I don't think I need automatically to do what some general tells me to do. I mean, I don't need to accept his definition of patriotism. I have a lot of confidence in my own patriotism and my own intelligence. But it was very tough there. There were attacks upon our sexuality, our patriotism, our political. We were called communists. I mean, it was very nasty, and it was quite orchestrated out of the White House and the Defense Department.
Was there a reward and punishment system that was used for reporters who played the game or didn't?
Well, that was the interesting thing. They tried to, and they just didn't have any rewards to hand out. I mean, they didn't have anything to punish with. I mean, it wasn't like, that was the early days of the Kennedy administration. The Kennedys were very good at rewarding reporters. If you were, I suppose, good and talented, you got to be invited to Hickory Hill or to the White House, or that you were favored, or at the press conference, perhaps the president called you by your first name, or Pierre Salinger would have lunch with you. I mean, the magnetic pull of the Kennedy social swirl was rather powerful then. We were 12,000 miles away. We could care bleep all about whether Jack or Jackie had us for dinner. We could care less whether we were invited to the embassy for dinner or by the general for dinner. I mean, they were a distant world. Our friends were the young Americans who were out in the as advisors in the war, and then the Vietnamese as well. They were risking their lives. Every time we went out, we risked our lives, and that was quite often. And the last thing in the world we were going to do is, having risked our lives to cover a story, I was not going to cover up.
What about the pressure, though, on those aides and advisors who were your sources? I'm surprised that there wasn't more pressure on them from the State Department.
There was a lot from the Defense Department. There was a lot, but they were, I think most of them were the kind of men who were responding to events, and I think they had young men on their staffs who were getting killed, and I think you can be theoretical about a war when you're in headquarters. You can sit there and be cynical about it. I think when you're in the field and you have young men who have died and you're writing letters to their widows, I don't think you're going to lie to a reporter whom you've come to know and trust. So I think that they were willing to risk their careers in many ways. I had a great source there named John Vann, who was a colonel and in the 7th Division advising the Arvin 7th Division there. And I remember when he finally pulled him back and I went to the airport to put him on the plane back to America. A whole bunch of us who were reporters gave him a little silver cigarette tray with his name. It said John Paul Vann, good soldier, good friend, and we all signed it. I think there's 5 or 6 Pulitzer Prize winners on that signature. And I remember talking to John, and I said I was nervous that my reporting was going to hurt you. And he gave me a very flinty look, and he said, "You never hurt me anymore that I wanted to be hurt." So they knew what they were doing.
My guest is David Halberstam, who won a Pulitzer Prize in 1964 for his reporting from Vietnam. What were some of the stories that you wrote that most upset or irked American and Vietnamese officials?
Oh, it was not any one story. Although there was a couple stories I had that about the decline, the military decline in the Mekong Delta that really drove them crazy. It was a cumulative thing. With President Kennedy, for instance, it was that my reporting day in and day out on the front page of the New York Times reflected a first-class foreign policy failure. I mean, he was enraged by it. by the end of his life, in the last couple months of his life, the whole thing was unraveling, and my colleague and I, Neil Sheehan, had just such good sources that we had that country wired. And he was just, I mean, he used to complain. I mean, he was complaining about me, and then he would also complain to Arthur Schlesinger Jr. that he could find out more in my stories than he could from reading the State Department cables and from the military cables. And then there were a series of stories on the Mekong Delta, on the military decline there, that they just went crazy about. Kennedy really, I think, believed them, and he sent the military off to sort of come up with their view, and they sent a hot young brigadier general named Dick Stilwell out to sort of word-by-word challenge my stories. And, I mean, he's a real handler on that one. In his version, the war was being won. He challenged every single word in my stories, and unfortunately, as the Pentagon Papers later made clear in one of their reports, my version was a good deal more accurate than his. But it was the kind of politics. I mean, I was running up against the politics of the American Defense Department.
Kennedy called your editor at the Times and suggested, you know, maybe they were thinking about transferring you. Maybe you'd gotten too close to the story.
Yeah. Well, that happens whenever you are giving people. I mean, Kennedy was never worried about anybody being too close to the story if he was getting his version.
What was the Times' reaction to that Kennedy request?
Oh, they were very good. I was supposed to come on home leave about then. They asked me to delay it for a couple of months, so they didn't want to look like they were acquiescing. They were quite good in general. I mean, they were made nervous by it, but they stood by me pretty well.
David Halberstam, recorded in 1985. He's now working on a book about the lunch counter sit-ins of the civil rights movement.